On air. Online. On Twitter.
Jennifer Campbell is always on.
Unfiltered, opinionated, and ready to speak her mind at a moment's notice.
This is the Jennifer Campbell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV, Cable 20.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can go to hell. 'Cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth. And I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul. Pour another glass of that rock and roll. Turn up the band, find the hole. Gonna lose control tonight. What do you want from me?
Well, good morning, Dreamboat. Who is happy about the break in the weather? I think that this 20-degree high, a lot easier to breathe and be happy outside when it's 40 and you're just trying to, you know, get to the end of the driveway to pick up the recycling boxes and you feel like you ran 10K. I'm so happy you're here on Rogers Television and with us on 570 News. Busy show for busy people. Okay, first of all, Polly, you know how I feel about others stealing somebody else's joy. I say that to my kids all the time. Don't steal someone's joy. You know, if somebody's really pumped or excited about something, even if you're not, encourage that passion. Be happy for that person, even if you're like, I don't understand why you're obsessed with stickbots or Pokemon or soccer, whatever. Just try to share the joy. So I confessed yesterday on the show that tomorrow, very excited to go to a Blue Jays game with a bunch of our listeners from our sister station. We've got a busload of winners coming with us. And I'm going to sneak my youngest out of school. And I didn't tell him. I'm going to show up at school. I'm going to take him out of school. And I'm going to take him to the Blue Jays game. Well, I got emailed and called very irresponsible parent for, you know, teaching my child that it's okay to skip school. And for a minute there, I kind of bought into it. I was like, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't do this. But then I felt like, no, I feel like this person is trying to steal joy. And nobody taught me how to skip school, and I still did it.
Tomorrow is June 20th.
Okay. Thank you.
They're watching movies. In fact, I think tomorrow is my son's final day of school of the year.
Is it really?
Yeah. And then he has exams. But then,
oh, yeah, because he's in high school.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's June 20th. You're watching movies anyway. Calm down.
I just think that, you know, teaching spontaneity and maybe time with his mom and just the two of us. And I think he'll remember this forever. Anyway, I almost absorbed the guilt. And the person asked me not to say their name, so I'm going to respect that, even though they tore me a new one. Anyway, I'm doing it. But for a moment there, I questioned. And I was like, why am I letting this stranger dictate how I'm going to parent? But I did. I bought into it for a second, Polly. I don't know if it was my hormones or whatever, but for honestly, I felt like a bit of a bad mom for a second. And then I didn't. So that's what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm so excited, Polly. I'm going to bring him his little Blue Jays jersey and his hat to school. I'm going to pick him up, and I'm not going to tell him where we're going.
Is it an afternoon game?
It is an afternoon game against Atlanta. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm so excited. Anyway. Don't steal people's joy. That's all I'm trying to say. That's the lesson right off the top. Don't steal people's sunshine or their joy or their parking spot. That's what we're learning today.
You're taking a bus down, right?
We are taking a bus down.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about parking. I could give you all sorts of tips on how to do the Blue Jays game on the cheap.
Because you've got the secret parking
lots. I've got a parking space. I know how you can get a free drink at the ballpark. You can actually bring in your own food.
What?
I know all the tricks.
What do you mean? Do you mean free drink? Do you mean a beer? Or
not
do you mean
a beer.
A soda pop?
It has to be non-alcoholic because that's part of the promotion. They have this thing called the designated driver. It's on the 500 level and the 100 level.
Yeah.
And if you pledge to not have a drink, you get a free soft drink.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Polly, So why don't you that. Skip work tomorrow maybe, and come with us?
Maybe I will.
And you can coach us through all the Blue Jays secrets. Polly's our Blue Jays fan, resident Blue Jay. Well, we all are because, of course, Rogers is the parent company of this organization. And I like working here. It's a little grease ball there. Okay. We are going to talk this morning. Well, a lot of stuff, but actually something's on the works right now, an interview that I hope James secures for us coming up at 9:30, where we talk about this big trade situation in Ottawa and what a dramatic story it is. Online bullying rivalry. And anyway, you know the gist, but we're going to hopefully get someone from Sportsnet to talk to us about that. We're going to talk. Hey, dads, are you tired of being the doofus in commercials? The doofus dad? That's a thing, isn't it? And fathers are tired of seeing themselves represented by this. Does society benefit from a more nuanced portrayal of fatherhood? We'll talk about that coming up. And I just loved this piece that I read last week in the Globe and Mail. Actually, I think it was this week. Because I think that it's so amazing in life when someone recognizes... is so self-aware that they recognize something about themselves, a trait or something, and then they change it. They acknowledge it and they change it. Great article from the Globe and Mail titled, "I Was a Workplace Bully Until It Cost Me My Job." And joining us this morning to discuss his piece is Mo Desyanian, who's the president of Empathy Inc. Good morning to you, Mo. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
That is correct, yeah, Desiania.
Excellent, excellent. Well, first of all, talk a little bit about what Empathy Inc. does.
We're an advertising agency and consultancy based out of Toronto. That's the very short one-liner of our company.
Well, hey, that's good because maybe I should keep you on for the next segment where dads are tired of seeing themselves look like doofuses in advertising. You could probably speak to that too.
I absolutely do. Yeah.
Your piece in the Globe and Mail was just really, really it caught my attention. So let's talk about it. Let's tell your story. You were a consultant.
Correct. So I was a consultant for other ad agencies in the Toronto area, and I would go in and I would help upper management solve business problems, whether it was underperforming business units, whether it was poor client service, and whether it was a strategy that wasn't coherent or sound. And I would help them with those problems very quickly at times, too. And over time, I've gotten out of the freelance business and built up a network of people who I can work with and built up my own agency. Now, the trajectory of this has been a little bit more wavy, as I sometimes describe it, in that when I tried to go full-time with one of the agencies because I was performing well and there was a lot of problems that were being solved, I found out that culturally I was clashing with them because I was business first, results first, and people second, and I just hadn't spent enough time building good, solid relationships with the people around me, and the politics of the workplace, as it were, caught up with me very quickly. That's where I realized that I'm better off forming my own agency and bringing my services to the clients. I also realized that I'm much happier as an entrepreneur than I am as an employee, but that's a topic for a different discussion.
So were you naturally someone who, got stuff done and made stuff happen? Was your style kind of your natural way, or had that perhaps been trained into you?
That's a very good question. I don't know whether it has been. I am very direct to the point, and I like to get things done. But my junior experiences in the advertising agencies have also promoted that more so. As you guys know, the media business and the advertising business is fast-paced, it's competitive, and it's sometimes a little bit unforgiving, in a good way. It's very business first. So that has kind of added on to my natural propensity to be direct and wanting to get things done right away. So I think it's a combination of both.
So was there a particular moment for you or kind of, one of those, I think it's Oprah who says that aha moment where you're in a situation and you thought, okay, this is not working. I got to make some changes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't one particular instance in time, but there's many shorter, smaller instances in time where I'm trying to push through a change that I know it's right. I know in my knowledge, in my heart, that we need to do this for the organization in order to move forward, in order to progress, in order to deliver better service and grow as an organization. But I'm meeting a lot of resistance, a lot of change. And in my earlier days as a consultant, I couldn't understand why people wouldn't agree with me. I couldn't understand why they didn't see the blatant answer in front of them. As I now reflect back on it, I obviously understand that it's about perspective and it is about empathy. It's about when you're having a discussion with someone in a meeting to realize that that person the day before or that morning of, they may have had a bad day. They may have, the kid might have spilled a bunch of food on the shirt and they might have to drive back and change the kid, and that just, you know, irritated them a little bit. So you have to be not necessarily aware of those things, but you have to factor that in when you're trying to make a decision, a business decision. What kind of mood is that person in? What kind of perspective do they bring to the table? What is personally at stake here for them? What does that mean for their role in the organization? All of those things factor in, and empathizing with that, now I realize, allows you to make better decisions. At the time, I didn't. There were many meetings where I just couldn't see through.
Yes, it kind of speaks to that basic human need as we exist, that people want to be seen and they want to be heard. They want to know that what they have to say matters.
Exactly. I have a friend of mine, Chris Gehrm, who is a communications coach, and in his piece, he tells a story about how in parole hearings, there was a study done where the propensity of saying yay or nay to a parole hearing is materially affected by whether that hearing is scheduled before or after a pee break, and whether the parole officer actually has to go to the bathroom or not at that moment.
It's fascinating.
So, you know, something as simple as that can materially affect the life and death decision. Why wouldn't it affect a business decision in a meeting? So you have to be able to see the perspective and understand how to be empathetic towards people around you.
So you speak in the piece that you kind of, you know, so you realize that this technique, that this, you know, this kind of mode of operation it's just not working for you. It's not working for your clients. It's not working for you anymore. So you kind of, you know, you name it and you claim it, and then you got to tame it. So how does that go? How do you start changing the dynamic in those relationships?
Funny enough, I actually ended up working with a lot of people that I used to work with before. We have very good relationships now because I've rebuilt them over time. And it's not, and to be very honest, there is no real big magic to this. It's all very be a person type of a thing. Just sit down, have a conversation, understand where they're coming from. Why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they in a full-time job? Why are they in a freelancer? Why are they, choosing to be in this industry? And play to that, you know, empathize with that. And over time, these relationships will build. One of the things that I have personally done to grow is I've tried to become a lot more patient with my relationships. I used to want results right away, but now I look at things a lot more long-term. These relationships take many, many years sometimes to develop, so you have to kind of, it's a marathon. And the other thing that we're doing here at Empathy that's very unique to us is that we actually devise payment models and business models that are custom to our employees, to our freelancers, and to our clients, which essentially translates this business model of empathy into real numbers, where not everybody is just getting a base, you know, the salary or an hourly. We try to understand what is it that you want from this engagement, and how can we make this work for you?
Wow.
So down to the dollars and cents, it is an empathetic business model.
As an entrepreneur, just let me reset here. Mo Desyanian is the president of Empathy Inc., wrote a great piece in the Globe and Mail entitled, "I Was a Workplace Bully Until It Cost Me My Job." And we are having discussion with him this morning. Mo, what would you say in terms of, importance, how important is the culture of a workplace. How important is that to the business being successful and making money?
Oh, I think it's material. It's absolutely quintessential that we get the culture right, especially when you're starting a new business and you set it out. You want to set the culture right from the beginning. I think within the toolbox of an entrepreneur, you look at your finances and your books as being one of your tools. You look at your marketing as being the other tool. Culture is also a tool in business success. It's an important one. It's a material one, but unfortunately, it's one that's often overlooked. Added to that, the dynamics of as organization grows, you see more and more nuanced and more complex cultural sets and different teams and competing interests in an organization. It becomes more difficult to define it and control it. However, I have seen many, many organizations that have gone belly up just because internal culture wasn't working. You have to understand, people spend 8-9 hours a day at an office. It's the most time we spend at work. You have to be at a place that's comfortable. You got to make that comfortable for everybody around you, from everybody at the bottom to everybody at the top. And culture is just a critical piece of that.
What a wonderful piece from you in the Globe and Mail. I'll tweet that out at JenCampbell77 on Twitter. Mo Desianian, what a great conversation with you. Thanks for taking the time for us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Good. Thanks. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We talked about this yesterday when people, I just have such great respect for people who are self-aware, who realize, oh God, I thought that, I believed in that, I had my heels dug in, but as they examine the results they're getting, they realize, I think I got to make some changes. I love that about human beings and human behavior, that we have a chance to change and we have a chance to evolve and we're free to make mistakes and change things about ourselves. I mean, a finished human doesn't exist. A finished human would be a pretty boring human too, I think. How many things are on your home improvement project list? Some people call them a honey-do list, but that puts all of the onus on the man, I think, to be, you know, getting things off the list, which I don't think is fair, because the emotional burden is real, and we get that too. So, because we know laundry and buying people birthday presents, that's a whole other topic. How many things are on that list, the honey-do list, whether it relates to the male, the female, both males, females, whatever your relationship looks like? I'll tell you how many projects you need to get to after this.
Traffic. It's the last thing you want to see on your commute. The best way to avoid it? 570 News Airborne Traffic Reports with Daryl Dahmer.
They're fighting it out on the 401.
Get the most accurate reports for your commute with 570 News, your local source for airborne traffic.
Okay, so yesterday, you guys all know that we're just about done blending houses. Two families into one house, the blended family. So yesterday, Scotty, after I got home from work, says, I have some bad news, but I have some good news. Here's the bad news. I was trimming some hedges and weeding in the backyard, and I cut the cable and the Wi-Fi line. I cut it. Okay, now, people, we've got like 3 hours till the end of school, and it's raining. We need Wi-Fi in the house this afternoon. Do you know what I'm saying? But he also fixed it before school was over. And the funny part was, I'm not sure, I don't know if we've even mentioned this, but Scotty is one of our new employees here at the Rogers Kitchener Radio Group. He's an engineer. So he wrote a very funny post. This is what he wrote. Tomorrow, the next step of my broadcasting career begins with Rogers. It's pretty fitting today that I cut the Rogers line to our house while trimming the weeds. But the proof I fixed it is in the fact that I'm now posting on Facebook.
A couple of weeks ago, I had to have some work done on our TV service, and we were without internet for 3 days.
Ooh.
That was the longest 3 days of my life.
It's crazy how we can't live without it now. But how many projects? And gosh darn it, I'm so lucky, because he is, I mean, the man can fix anything, which will serve him well at this job. He's unbelievably handy. So how many projects? I'm not. I'll help. I'm learning. I'm trying to learn. How many projects, Polly, does the average homeowner have that need attention? How many do you think?
Three. I watched that show with Brian, and there's three topics and three brooms, and he picks one of them. So three. That's
Baumler?
My answer. Three.
I like Brian Baumler and his wife, Sarah. Nope. It's a little bit more than that. Average homeowner has 9 home improvement projects that need attention. Stat. 60% of us say our home is still a work in progress. 60%. It's never done. As soon as something's done, you just look and the paint is chipping off something else, isn't it? Like, it's just, and it's, you got to get used to that. It's kind of like laundry. The laundry is never all done, put away, folded, and stays like that.
In order for the laundry to be done, I'd have to literally be standing in my bedroom naked.
And
with everything hanging up.
And don't sit on anything, because then you need to wash the sheets because you're naked. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's never done. The houses are never done. Anyway, you know what we spend? You know what we spend a year on home repairs and maintenance? About $9,000 per year. I mean, that's a really nice trip to somewhere, but where are you going to live when you get home? Yeah. So if your list is growing for the weekend, I mean, anything less than 9, you're doing better than the rest of us. It is 9:28. Let's get to our 570 newsroom and come back on the Jennifer Campbell Show after 9:30 news.
With all the technology at our disposal, it's a shame that most of it is wasted on nonsense. Download the 570 News app at 570news.com and stay informed.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back with us. Hello, Rogers Television on Channel 20. And those of you who are listening to us on 570 News, so great to have you. Coming up. Oh, this will be fun. Did you see the story about a teenager who was at a music festival in Minnesota? And she decided she was going to stick her head into a truck's exhaust pipe because it was one of those big, you know, loud trucks. And I would dare say alcohol was involved in this situation. But that sounded so judgy of me, like I've never had a drink or something. I mean, I haven't stuck my head in a tailpipe, but I've been stuck in other places. Anyway, fire crews had to get her out and so on and so forth. So we're going to tell you this story, what her reaction was after she was rescued from the exhaust pipe. But here's what I want to know from you guys this morning. We'll do this coming up about, I don't know, 10 minutes or so from now. Where did you get stuck? And Polly, we have done this topic. I think we've done this topic before on our sister station, Where'd You Get Stuck? So anything qualifies. You know, snowbanks, airports. I have one that I'm a little ashamed to tell you about, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it's all about transparency. The place I got stuck. Where'd you get stuck? You got to tell us. Or maybe it's your child that got stuck. I always wonder how you see those pictures of the kids that get their heads stuck through the railings? Like how do they do that? Like, it's got to hurt while they're pushing their face through those bars. So where'd you get stuck? You can send me emails on that, Jennifer at 570news.com. And hopefully you'll give us a call too at *570 or at 519-570-2545 to share some of your stories about getting stuck. This is a good one. And I'd love to hear from the men, from the dads, from my lovely male folk this morning on this one. So over the weekend, it's Father's Day. And have you noticed kind of that trend in advertising and in marketing where, like, dads are kind of portrayed as, and not even kind of, they are quite frequently made out to be the doofus. You know, the guy that screws something up or that is incapable of putting the diaper on the correct way or, you know, just kind of that they're not really all with it when it comes to being specifically a dad. And I must admit and check my kind of female privilege here. I never thought about this until I was reading this survey, that dads might be tired of seeing themselves portrayed as kind of incompetent. Do you notice this trend in advertising? *570-519-570-2545. Because there's been real change in the air about the role of the modern mother. I mean, we've reframed that, haven't we? And I think we've done it pretty well. I mean, we have no problem citing ourselves as Wonder Women. Yeah. You know, doing it all and, you know, wearing capes and working and doing and taking care of our kids and taking care of our families and taking care of ourselves, hopefully. But have men been left behind in this? Do we need an updated portrayal that better represents the man's engagement with fatherhood? I mean, there's dads doing every bit as much as moms. There's dads staying home with kids. There are dads taking paternity leave. There are dads who are the, main caregivers at home. I'd love to hear from some stay-at-home dads on this one. *570-519-570-2545. Are you sick of seeing dads being portrayed as doofuses? Doofus, is that an okay word? Doofus? I don't even actually know what that means. So I think it's okay until somebody tells me differently. So *570, call me and tell me your thoughts on that. Dads, men's want to be dads, career dads, anybody, of course, who is wondering what this image is all about. Let's talk about that, and let's take a call, and then we'll play you some examples, because Polly and I found some examples this morning of these, you know, dads in advertising. I think that it's doing you guys a disservice. *570-519-570-2545. Hello, Curtis. Thanks for calling us this morning.
How are you?
Good. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. No, it's true. They make us look bad, and I just think it's something that it's just, I don't know, it's just like almost trying to demasculate you as, you know, anything man has to always be stupid, or, you know, but I'm a single dad, and I love my kids, and I raise my kids, and I'm teaching my girls to be strong women, right? I'm not one of these dads who are sitting around and, you know, I fail at everything and fail at, I knew how to change my kids' diapers. I fed my kids. I used to get up with them when they were babies and change their diapers and everything.
Yeah, it kind of seems like I wonder where that comes from. Now, I mean, that the media really loves to play up this, oh, they're incapable kind of thing. Like, oh gosh, you can't leave dad alone with the kids because something terrible is going to happen.
But it seems like that it is like that with anything having to do with anything related to men. Men and women are equal, you know, but it seems like there's a lot of people out there that want to make it seem like women are higher than men now. And a lot of men are saying that. But, you know, the thing is, it's we're all equal. We all should get along. We all, you know, like, no, there's nothing that could get along without the other. So, you know, you need to have a man, you need to have a woman. And even in business, and, you know, sometimes marriages come off like that, but even in businesses, if it's a corporation that has all men, sometimes, a lot of times it fails. But when you have a woman involved, they bring something that a man can't. And it goes the other way too.
I think you're so right in saying, and I think that people confuse the word equal with the same, because we can be equal and we can be different. Just like you said, we bring different things to different situations. So,
exactly.
You know, I think people confuse equality, meaning everything has to be exactly the same, when that's not the expectation. It's, yeah.
You're way better than I am.
Curtis, let me ask you this. Do you think that, when it comes to like advertising and in commercials, do you think that that's that father-daughter relationships always have like more emotional overtones than father-son ones? Like that there's a freedom for men to have emotional relationships with daughters, but not with their sons?
I haven't noticed that in commercials, but I do know because of my age, and I mean, I was born between be a man, you never cry, and,
yeah.
and like, be emotion, you know, because I think we're around the same age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that stuck to a lot of men, you know, being raised, you know, you have to be a man, and you don't be emotional to your boy. That's gay. That's homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that's wrong. I mean, you could be tough and teach a man how to be a man, which is something that's lacking these days too. But anyway,
Curtis, great call.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm so happy you made it. Thank you for calling us this morning. And thanks for being a great dad. Star 570, 519-570-2545. Excuse me. And I was just so excited to get it out. And I know in a lot of places, a lot of the, you know, amazing women I follow on Twitter, they talk about how, you know, we tend to thank dads for doing things that we just expect women to do. Like, you know, when you see like a dad at the grocery store with all the kids or doing something, whatever, taking care of his kids, you know, we're like, oh, you're such a great dad. And we say that when we wouldn't say that to a woman because we just expect that of her. But it's all about evolving roles, isn't it? I mean, it really is. But I think that when we kind of define dads as can't handle it, you really limit all sense of purpose, because then you're limiting that. You're kind of setting that expectation for the son too. I'll just grow up and wait for the mom to tell me what to do, because sons, boys and men are fully capable of growing up and recognizing that they have many a purpose. Just like I think we've recognized. Okay, so Polly, we got a couple examples of the advertising and doofus dad. So clip number one. What company is this that we're? Do we?
I couldn't figure it out because the clips were so. It's some fiber bar commercial.
Fiber bar,
something like that.
Okay.
Granola bar or something.
Relevant to anybody's system, but here's how they have a listen to this one. This one kind of making the man look incompetent.
Brady, I think you need a little extra fiber in your diet.
Oh, Carol, fiber makes me. Sad.
I mean, yeah, my instinct is to giggle. Fiber makes me sad. But that whole, just that tone, isn't it? That you're a moron. Let me help you give you something to poop. I mean, he's a grown up, for God's sakes. First of all, he can decide if he wants to take some fiber, you know? And are we kind of perpetuating that as women, because we're so used to having to pick up your towel, eat your breakfast? Like, sometimes are we guilty of treating our male partners like children? Is it a chicken or an egg thing? I don't know. Okay, next clip. Polly calls this one, no more butt dialing.
It's a BlackBerry that flips closed. So no more butt dialing. Yay!
Yay!
So he's, of course, he's always the one who butt dials. I'm pretty sure when it comes to making cell phone errors, wrong dials, we're probably at par with each other. You know, you're so stupid. Here's your phone. It does have a bit of a condescending tone. And still, I have a little giggle about it. So clearly my perspective needs to change too. This one is next. So this is some examples from YouTube of advertisements that kind of portray the dad as the doofus.
No, you don't understand. I have an MBA.
Oh, you have an MBA. In that case, I'll have to show you how to do it.
Okay, that's funny. But that could go for both, couldn't it? Because some people are overschooled, generally speaking. Like, you've got 18 years of university, but you don't know how to make a cup of coffee. You know, is that where that one is? Anyway, I thought that was an interesting survey. That we need to kind of reframe and start thinking about the way we're portraying fathers. In advertising. All right, what did you get stuck in? Crazy story about this teenager who had to be rescued after she stuck her head in a truck's exhaust pipe at a country music festival. And I know there's a picture. If you're watching us on Rogers Channel 20, there she is. She's not even ashamed of herself. She's actually kind of proud because she poses with the rescuers. After this is over, where did you get stuck? I mean, I'm tempted to judge her right off the bat. But then I realized the place I got stuck wasn't much smarter. So let's talk about that. You can tweet me your stories at JenCampbell77. Email works as well, Jennifer@570news.com. *570, 519-570-2545. Where did you get stuck? Snowbank, hayloft, airport, your mother-in-law's. That was a bit of a stereotype too, wasn't it? Give us a call. We'll get to it next, right here on the Jennifer Campbell Show, 570 News.
Baseball is too slow, they say.
The bringer of rain.
Try telling that to Josh Donaldson.
Here's the first pitch.
He's got less than a half a second to react to a pitch. Don't miss a single moment of Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
And that ball is gone!
On 570 News.
Unbelievable.
Gorgeous sunshine on this Tuesday, June the 19th. Welcome back to the show. And a story out of Minnesota. This girl has got some internet fame now. She is named Caitlin Strom. She's attending the Winstock Music Festival in Minnesota. And she had to learn the hard way not to stick her head in a tailpipe. Large tailpipe, obviously, one of those trucks that you see at a country music festival. She says, we were all just having fun. I saw a big exhaust pipe and I thought, hey, my head could probably fit in that. Now, there is a twist because obviously it's one of those hold my beer, watch this scenarios, isn't it? So she puts her head in. It did fit. But it did not want to come back out. And she must have been stuck in there pretty well because it took firefighters 45 minutes to cut her head free. She says she was pretty confused because she couldn't see what was going on, but she trusted everyone who was around to get her out. And then once she was free, the county sheriff's department cited her for underage drinking and escorted her from the festival grounds. She's gotten a lot of heat from the incident. She does say she's learned her lesson to not stick her head in the tailpipe, but she is owning it. She is absolutely owning it because she posted a picture to Facebook holding the tailpipe captioned, yep, I'm the tailpipe girl. What you know about it? So we want to know this morning, where did you get stuck? I think just about every one of us has a story about being stuck somewhere. Perhaps it's an elevator. Maybe it's in a relationship that you didn't want to be in anymore and didn't know how to get out of. Where'd you get stuck? How did you get out? *570, 519-570-2545. Emails coming in to Jennifer@570news.com. Oh my gosh. Oh dear. I never thought about this one. Hi, Jen. I got stuck in a porta potty at a music festival. After a couple beers, it was the longest 11 minutes of my life. Yes, I timed it. That's from Tim.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about what happens if you have to go to the washroom.
No kidding.
That's always my biggest fear if I was stuck in some place. What if I have to go after 4 hours of being stuck here?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Now, listen, somebody emailed too that they were stuck in an elevator. Got stuck in the elevator at work.
That happened to me at our old building a couple of times.
It happened to me too.
Yeah. It was only maybe 2 or 3 minutes and then the elevator started moving again miraculously, but it was scary.
It is scary because you don't know how long you're going to be in there. And plus you're not, well, I never could get service, like cell phone service in the elevator.
But there's a phone in the elevator for that purpose. I don't know. I picked it up. I don't know who picked it up, where they were.
It worked?
But it worked.
I got stuck in that. Those were untrustworthy pieces of machinery, weren't they?
Yeah, the old building elevators.
There was somebody else drop in it a few floors?
Yeah, I've heard that story too. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I got stuck in it and I was pregnant. And there was a guy from one of, because you know how there were different offices on different floors. So we didn't all know each other in that building. Some of the faces you would recognize, you know, here and there. But he was a young fella. And I believe, I can't remember if he worked on the floors above us or below us.
Well, nobody worked above us. We were on the top
floor, we had the top
floor,
two, didn't we? That's right. Yeah.
Great
actually,
view.
It was a beautiful view. My lawyer was on that floor too. Should have called him after I got stuck in the elevator. But I got stuck in the and I was pregnant. And so the first thing that pops into my mind is, just like you said, where am I going to pee? Because at this point, you're 9 months pregnant. You pee just about every, 20 minutes or half an hour or so. So because I'm not, you know, good at just shutting up and keeping thoughts in my head, I turned to him and said, I mean, if we're in here any longer than half an hour, I'm going to have to pee in the corner. I'll let you pick which corner I pee in, but it's going to have to happen. Anyway, thankfully they did get us out. They got us out quickly enough that I didn't have to do that. But that poor guy, I should have sent him cookies or something. Yeah. Where'd you get stuck? Star 570, 519-570-2545. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Good morning, Your Highness. How are you?
Oh, you're so kind. I like that fantasy you just gave to me. Thank you.
You deserve it. Anyway, this is kind of a being stuck story, but it links with Polly's elevator story there. I would say many, many years ago, when I was just a young whippersnapper, I was working in downtown Toronto in a 35-story building down in the core. And the elevators were these big ones designed for office buildings where they held about 25 or 30 people. So they were great big things. And we all got in on the 35th floor, and they'd been temperamental for most of the summer, but they decided to be more temperamental, the elevator being not the people. And it fell about 12 stories.
Oh my gosh.
And it came to a grinding halt, and doors opened, and we were halfway between floors. And we sat there looking at about the 24th floor and the 23rd floor, the bottom of one and the top of the next. And so we had a little debate for about 5 minutes or so as to who was going to do what.
Mm.
And one brave soul finally had the thought that he would climb out of the elevator onto the upper floor. And immediately, just like a Keanu Reeves movie, as soon as he got out on the upper floor, it fell another 2 feet.
Oh,
and we saw most of the next floor and a little bit of the floor he had just crawled out to. We all decided to stay at that point, and then fortunately it started and went back down again. And everybody ran out of the thing when it hit the ground. Well, it didn't hit. When it arrived, it was like an action adventure movie before action adventure movies became popular.
Why did you do you go in elevators now, Bill?
I like the stairs.
I'll take the stairs for my heart and my mental health. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Bill.
But I have never stuck my head in a tailpipe, so.
Yeah, there's that. Thank you for the call, Bill. Where'd you get stuck? Doug at Star 570. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Wasn't really me, but it was my wife, a girlfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
She had a bad habit of not going where she was supposed to when she told her mother.
Okay.
So we were in a hotel in Hamilton one night, and her aunt said, well, this time she is going home with me. And she took a pair of handcuffs that I had on me and handcuffed my wife to herself.
I'm not going to ask why you had handcuffs, but I'm glad they came in handy for gathering her up. That's a good one.
That's interesting when they had to go to the bathroom.
You need assistance.
And then about an hour later, we found ourselves, about eight of us, all piled into my brother's car, and we went down and seen the people down at the Hamilton Police Department, and they were able to uncuff her because, unfortunately, our key had broken in handcuffed.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Doug. You know it's a bad night when you have to take yourself to the police station. That's not good. And he just reminded me, you know, one time when I was married, my ex-husband stood and laughed at me because I had climbed in the dishwasher to get something out of the back that had fallen, and my hair got stuck in the dishwasher, and I'm like yelling for help with my ass sticking out of the dishwasher. And when he arrived, and I don't think I can blame him, he stood there for a good 30 to 60 seconds enjoying the fact that I was stuck in the dishwasher before he offered assistance. That was a fun show, you guys. Appreciate your stories and your phone calls and your listening and your emails. Enjoy this gorgeous Tuesday, and I'll see you tomorrow.